Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com. And with support from ADM, working with the American farmer, creating products from his crops, creating markets for crops. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at will.uiuc.edu.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Later this half hour, we were going to talk with Jim Wiesemeyer of Informa. We're waiting for a phone call from him, and maybe we'll get to that. Maybe we won't. Nonetheless, we'll be able to talk about the commodity markets today. Corn prices, as you probably know, plummeted this week. They filled a gap left way back when most people thought the U.S. crop could manage a national average of 145 bushels to the acre. We'll try to figure out how that can be the case when parts of Illinois are in such dire straits. That all happens today, right here on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Our panelists in studio today are Greg Johnson of the Andersons here in Champaign County and Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing in Lexington, Illinois. Gentlemen, let's begin the discussion with this question for the day. How can the price of corn on August the 5th be lower than it was on July the 1st, given conditions in the field? Greg Johnson.
Well, the crop in Illinois is definitely much below average. Several private analysts came out with estimates this week anywhere from 115 to 125 bushels for the state of Illinois, and that's substantially lower than where we've been the last 5 years on average, which is 156, and last year's 180. Nevertheless, your number 1, 3, and 4 states, Iowa, Minnesota, and Nebraska, are well above average, and that's going to more than offset Illinois' loss, especially when you factor in the 2.1 billion bushel carryout that we came into with from last year.
And Bill Mayer.
I don't disagree with anything Greg said there. I think that we have talked about this several times on this show and others. We have this old crop carryout. We really don't have a big need for any of the buyers to panic right now. And quite simply, I think, put it in simplest form, the carryout is also in the areas where the crop is good. And because of that, sales of corn are being made, and the market needs to stop those sales, and the market will continue to go down until the sales stop, I think.
One other panelist in studio with us today as well, Vince Reinicke of Strategic Farm Marketing, is along to talk about the marketplace. Vince, we'd like to know how it is that on this date, August the 5th, as we look at this corn crop, the price can be lower than it was on July the 1st of this year. And we were looking at 145 bushel to the acre crop, but today probably not that large.
Certainly would agree with that. And how can the price be lower? Well, I think we're probably all asking that question. And likewise, it's tough to answer. I would say that, funds probably have a lot more to do with it this year than last year. Even in July, that probably didn't have quite as big a bearing on it. So that could be one good answer.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about what's happening in the marketplace. In Chicago, futures look like this. September corn for the week had a high of $2.39.5, the low at $2.20, and September settled at $2.20.5. They were down 16 cents from last week. December contract, $2.34.5. That was off 13.75 from last week. Greg Johnson, you made a little trip around the Champaign County area to take an assessment of what the corn crop looked like. What did you find?
I found some good corn in Champaign and Vermilion County, and before people start calling in, let me define what I mean by good. A month ago, we were going downhill every day, and there was some very real concern that we could be down in the low 100 bushels, and then fortunately we got some rain. I think we're looking at something in the 140s to 150s. In northern Champaign County, something in the 130s in the southern half of the county. And I will be quick to add that Champaign, Vermilion, probably Douglas County, are some of the best counties in the state. That does not translate into the whole state, but right in our particular area, I think those three counties out of the 100-and-some-odd counties in Illinois are okay.
I got a peek at your newsletter for the week that you send out to the farmers in the Champaign County area, and you suggested that despite the fact that we were looking at what might not be so good a crop, that we may not be in supply under such dire straits.
Exactly. 2.1 billion left over from last year. usage at 10.5, even if you use 10.7, a production number of 10 billion to 10.2, which is kind of the range that most of the analysts are in now, tells us that we're still going to have a carryout of 1.4 to 1.7 billion bushels. We need to get the crop substantially below 10 billion bushels in order for the market to get excited and get into some prices where we would need to do some rationing.
And let's hear a little bit about the rest of the state. We'll start with you, Bill. You're in the Bloomington Normal area in Lexington. What do you see there? And then maybe hear from others or that you're talking to on the phone in and out of the week.
Well, I'll tell you, it's just all over the board, and it's been that way all year. I don't think it's got a lot to do somewhat with the moisture, of course, precipitation, but it seems like the timing of the pollination and the beetle infestation was probably more important in some areas than the actual rainfall, it seems like. I think that you're going to see some elevators probably range, you know, 80 bushel an acre from 80 bushel an acre up to maybe 150 or 160, all within a 10-mile stretch here. So to put a number on it, it would be hard for me to do. But if I look at the privates that came out this week, FC Stone with their 115 in Illinois, you know, it's kind of hard to argue with that number. I mean, we had a 95 or something like that in 1988. So, you know, with improved yields, I don't think you can hardly argue with 115.
Well, just like Greg, myself, I, being from Champaign and right here around Champaign, I guess I can't add much more than what he said, except to say that earlier this week, we did the Douglas County Farm Bureau sponsored a kind of a marketing club trip where we just studied the corn yields or took yield checks around Douglas County, and in which case we come up with a Douglas County average of 152. And obviously, I don't want to say that that's the exact, you know, what we expect it to be, but that's better than what we expected, I guess I can say, too. So much like Greg said, you know, there's some pretty decent corn and there's some pretty rough corn. So it's not hard to find either one. It's just a matter of where you look.
We'll have some listeners in northern Illinois and parts of Indiana want to know where Douglas County is. That would be just south of Champaign. So you'd be in the Tuscola and Charleston areas.
Yep.
All right. So, and we've heard oftentimes the Tuscola is actually, when you gave me the southern Champaign County number, I was surprised that it was as low as it was, because we've heard the Tuscola, on the other hand, which is only another, I don't know, 8 miles. I'm not sure how far it is past the county line there, is awfully, awfully good. And there's a 152 sitting down there if you look at those numbers. So it's pretty wide and varied.
Oh, exactly. And the difference between northern Champaign and southern Champaign, I mean, is only maybe a matter of 30 miles. So there were some very spotty rains this week. Early in the week, northern Champaign County got some decent rains. The southern half missed out. Later in the week, on Friday morning, southern Champaign County got some decent rains, and the northern part missed out. So I think it's been that way. We haven't had general rainfall. So someone who's been fortunate enough to be under the right clouds at the right time can have some of these 150, 160 yields, and other people, especially those in the southeast part of the county, are probably looking at something closer to 110, 120.
Bill Mayer, you... Oh, go ahead, Bill.
I'm just going to say, I think put that into a marketing perspective a little bit, and I think an important fact here is that the trade has come in and focused on this 135 to 140 area that a couple of the estimates out this week were in the 139 area, and I think that's where the market's focused at. And we probably have to get, as Greg said, I think you have to get down below 135 national average, I'm saying, to get the market really excited. I think that it may be on the USDA report kind of a yawner if it comes in there in that 135 to 138 bushel area.
As you mentioned a bit earlier, Bill, FC Stone came out with a number of 115 bushel the acre. I think their number was 10.01. Is that correct for the total bushels?
10.3.
So Informa and FC Stone, there was a 10 billion bushel estimate in there, but it did not belong to FC Stone. And then as you look at that number and compare it to what USDA is using currently, which is from July, of course, which is a 10.7 crop at 145 bushels to the acre, I think farmers are looking at this same. Even farmers who may have the 152 in Illinois are looking at it and saying, how can this potentially be that we're down back at the levels we are, that we've got a crop now that went from probably a 10.7, 10.8 crop to a 10.3 crop, maybe as high as 10.5 if things are better. How can the price of corn be just back down to this level? I don't know that they'll understand what's happening in the marketplace.
Well, I guess I think part of it is that we, as I said earlier, I think we've got this corn that's coming into the market now and putting pressure on the buyer doesn't have to panic right now. There's no reason to go out here and get booked up. If you're a foreign country or if you're a user for a livestock situation or an ethanol plant, it's paid for you to sit and go hand to mouth for about the last 16 months, and there's really no reason for them to change that. So your buying was coming from the funds, and if the funds quit buying, which has pretty much happened now, as Vince mentioned, then there just any buyers in the market at this point.
Vince, with these corn at 234.5 on Friday afternoon, is there any way next Friday when USDA releases its first estimate, real estimate of the crop size for the year, that it could be bearish to the marketplace?
I would certainly say that, yeah, if they consistently try and stay close to. I mean, I don't think that they can stay where they're at, because if they stay where they're at, then there's going to be a lot of disbelief. And again, kind of just overlook the report. Can it be bearish to the market? I think a 10.4, 10.5 number probably can be somewhat bearish, because that would mean an adjustment on their part, but it would also mean that we're getting a little closer to where everybody else is at. Maybe they do have some validity there. So I think that certainly there could be a bearish number come out next week. Boy, it'd be awful tough. It'd be awful tough to get too much lower, in our opinion, you know, given what we've seen. So there's some spots over towards Havana. I can just add that I don't think it'll probably be too much longer before they start harvest over there. The next couple of weeks, I think there will be some harvest.
It would really be unprecedented. I think the biggest drop from July to August is 10 bushel an acre. So to get below 135, I think would be difficult.
This sets up a situation where we've got corn, as I said, at 234.5 for the year, or for the Friday. Does anybody not believe that the high has been put in before harvest at this point?
I don't think I could argue with that, but I do feel that as you go into 2006, I think you can see some, you know, if we get up into that 11 billion bushel demand, and now we need to get a trend yield again next year, and I think you could see some rebound in the market as far as making new highs. I don't know that I'd go that far.
How do you get to an 11 billion bushel demand? Is it ethanol growth or is it something else?
Well, ethanol growth and probably some comeback in exports. I think there's a lot of talk about China, and I guess I'm one that believes that before 2006 is over, we'll see China probably importing some corn.
The balance sheets certainly look like it, don't they, Bill? I mean, you look at all of the information that we see coming out of China, and it says they've got to have some corn somewhere, somehow, because they don't have enough the way it is.
They've gone about 6 years of using more than they produce. So.
Yep, and I mean, common sense tells you they're going to have to get some somewhere, and seeing as how we're generally the market, that would indicate that we'd probably be the ones to come to, but you know, that's all speculation, too, so we don't know for sure. But
The only other places they could go would be South Africa, I suppose, or Argentina, possibly.
Yep,
but
Argentina.
China's the number two crop size in the world, and they're about half as large as the United States in total production.
Yeah, the bottom line, or not the bottom line, but one thing to keep in mind is that we will tighten up the supply and demand balance table this year, but we're still going to have plenty of corn this fall. We're not going to run out of corn. We do need to buy acres next spring, and so the new crop prices, the December 06 prices, are going to have to stay relatively high to encourage production for next year. But we've already got this 10-point-something billion bushel crop this year, and it's going to be hard to get rid of it. So we probably don't need to rally much unless beans rally and drag the corn up with it. Corn is definitely a follower, and I don't think we need to get back to the 273 highs that we saw about a month ago.
LDPs this fall?
That's a good question, Todd. I think that, as I've kind of discussed a few things with some of my customers, I said we might have to artificially build in our own LDPs this fall and attempt at either selling some puts or something that might provide that mechanism. Do we see, you know, straight out LDPs from the government? It's a real tough question. I mean, if we stay here, I think we will, because basis levels would probably tend to widen out some and because of the crop size that would warrant us staying in this area. But I think if we move prices back up to 250, I think you're also going to see basis levels being better and everything else. So you're not going to even come close, I don't think.
If you look at the cash corn price right now, the old crop corn price, it actually is down below loan level, and there would, if this was harvest, we'd have LDPs right now. So I think it's hard to say that there wouldn't be LDPs when we're that close.
I think the unfortunate thing is that that's mainly because of this last week's price action, right? Because a week ago we weren't really in LDP area, so that's the unfortunate thing. But yeah, I would tend to agree, you know.
Yeah, there's a 9 cent LDP, or there will be a 9 cent LDP on Monday after Friday's sell-off. But the new crop bids are about 9 to 10 cents more than the cash bids. So basically, we're right at loan level right now. The question is, can December corn go lower than 234? Fundamentally, you wouldn't think it would need to go much lower, but you have to remember the funds don't always worry about logic and fundamentals. They're long, or they were long going into the beginning of this week, almost 500 million bushels, futures and options combined. And if there's not a bullish story for them to hang their hat on, they could bail out of that position, and we could take this thing lower than what we might think the fundamentals would suggest.
You know, we talked about new crop. We talked just a little bit about old crop here, and I've got a question, because we in the past, two or three of these Commodity Week programs, we've talked about the great number of bushels of corn there that are out west that have to be moved into this marketplace. And at one point we talked about that really pushing the price of corn down, which apparently may be the old crop cash prices, and that's why we are bottoming this thing here in the LDP territory. But we've also talked about Decatur being where it is geographically, in Decatur, you know, not having very much corn to draw from locally, yet cash price in Champaign County is in the LDP area as well. I don't know what to make of that exactly. I think farmers would think that they ought to be getting a better cash price at this point for their old crop, even if the new crop prices aren't that good.
You know what, though, Todd? I think about a week ago, what was it? It seems like about a week ago, I was listening to one of the evening market wrap-ups that you do, and you were talking to a guy from Central Iowa, and he said, "Well, our cash corn price is $1.84." That was back when our cash corn price was $2.15 or $2.20, and I thought, "Wow, that's quite a surprise." And at those kind of numbers, you know, I think he said that day that he was paying 52 under the SEP for cash corn.
Yep.
At those kind of numbers, Decatur can afford to rail things in too.
Yeah, that was up near the Minnesota border, and they were even further under in Minnesota than that. So I suppose maybe we shouldn't be nearly so surprised that the cash broke as much as it has.
And correct me if I'm wrong here, Greg, but it kind of backs up too, doesn't it? I mean, they feel some needs, say, down in the southwest in the chicken areas. And then those bushels that normally come from northern central Illinois into those areas may get moved into Decatur. Is that correct?
That's exactly right. And one thing you have to keep in mind is, on paper, we have enough corn. And on paper, you can move corn from Iowa and Minnesota into Decatur and other areas that need it in the southeast. But that's on paper. The railroad performance has not been stellar the last two or three years. And with another big crop this year, getting trains in position at the right time could be a challenge. And I've heard some rumors that some of the big companies are not going to let their private cars go west because the turnaround time is going to be 2 to 3 weeks, whereas if they keep them in the eastern Corn Belt, you're talking about turnaround times of 3 to 4 days instead of weeks. So on paper, this should all work out, but on paper and reality, sometimes they're two different things.
Let's wrap up this corn discussion, and we'll hit a couple of the other grain numbers very quickly, and I'll let you guys think about a final word on corn before we get to the weather forecast. September wheat, high this week, 335.5, the low at 317. Their settlement price at 320. They were down 7.75. Wheat at 336 was off 6.25 for the week, and the SEP oats at 155.25 were down 7.5 cents. We'll do the mercantile exchange numbers very quickly too before we get to the soybeans in the second half of this program. August live cattle from the Merc, 82.52.5, the high, the low at 80.10, a settlement price there at 80.57.5. They were down 62.5, and the feeder cattle at 110.40 were up 117.5. Best advice or last word on corn? We'll start with you, Vince Reinicke.
Well, I think it's tough to say at this point. I think what guys have to remember is that, you know, you want to make sure that if you're the guy being picked on, i.e. you're the one that doesn't have the yield and the price is still going against you because of some of the things that are happening out west, you know, our history has shown us that you still have to have a good majority of your bushels priced, at least up to what you can insure, et cetera, et cetera. And so be careful about looking out your back door is the only thing I can say. What might happen to this market? I really truly feel that I think we'll see Chicago wait on some yields, combine yields, before they start to react much. I don't know how much next week's government report's going to mean. So I think we'll see, you know, start to see combine results come out before we start seeing a reaction. So we'll take it from there, as far as I can say.
Greg Johnson.
I've got a wheat comment. Are we going to talk about wheat later? Or
no,
or
you can talk about it
okay,
now.
Okay. July of next year's wheat started this week over 370. It finished at about 358, I believe, or 357, somewhere in that range. But it's been anywhere over 360 to 380 is a good place for people that grow wheat around here to look at. We've had a lot of people, not just in Illinois, which isn't a big wheat area, but down south and out east, talk about high input costs for corn and relatively low prices and low yields. The return on wheat is going to be a lot better. So I would look for a lot more wheat acres and less corn acres in some of these southern states and southern Illinois. And that's another reason why longer term I'm bullish corn. I think the market is going to have to go back to buying acres next winter, next spring.
And Bill, pick your topic, plus do the cattle for me.
Okay, I'll just stick with the corn. I think we kind of came across here probably pretty bearish on the corn, and just, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty out there yet. We don't know what the yields are. We won't know what the yields are after next Friday, and we probably won't know, as Vince said, until we get out in the field and actually start running the combines. One thing that's kind of been assumed is that the Iowa yields up here at these levels that the privates have been pegging them, and that may be where the surprise comes from. It may not come from Illinois. It may come from the quote, good crop out west. So there's still a lot of uncertainty, and I think that'll keep some premium in the market. As you look down the road, I think you got some potential. You need to manage your harvest inventory at this point and not get squeezed into a corner when you get in there and the elevator calls you and says, you know, it's been in here 7 days. What do you want to do with this corn? Cattle market, from the standpoint of cattle, it looks to me like we had a pretty good week in the cash market. We saw the Packers come in and bid up about $3 more than what they were last week. Hopefully people that had some ready took advantage of that. I think we'll see basically just a range on cattle of, you know, in the cash side of it, that 79 to 83. And, you know, you try to hit the top end of those whenever the buyers come to you.
I just took a look at the time. Boy, we've had a lively time here. I'm going to skip the weather altogether. We're going to go right into the soy complex now. Soybeans finished the week like this. The August contract, 694 on the high, the low at 640. August beans settled 658 and a half. They were down 13 and a quarter from last week. The November's at 669. We're off 17 and three quarters. Darrell Good in this week's weekly outlook says if you take the numbers from the crop progress reports and you give it a normal yield or a normal weather the rest of the way out, 40.3 bushels to the acre. Rainfall currently and what we expect in August going to be enough to carry that out and
you know,
across the nation?
I always like presenting it this way. I was in the northern northwestern part of the state on Monday looking at some crops, and up there, you know, we did some pod counts, not you know, hundredth or thousandth of an acre pod, just, you know, pull a few plants, count the pods on a plant and do some theoretical yield. And I always like throwing out how the theoretical yields turn out because it's comical more than it is anything else. But, you know, you find 25, 26 pods average on plants up in that area, and I think you'll find similar numbers down here. Last year they had 40 to 50 pods probably instead of the 25, 26. But like I say, when you run the theoretical numbers as to what kind of yield that can get you at 3,000 seeds per pound, that's like 75 bushel. And what I'm trying to say is that lends to the fact that we haven't, you know, we've got some time yet left on beans. We don't have the number of pods. There's no doubt about that. But if we fill them out, I think we can still get pretty decent yields. Now, I'm not saying anything like last year, but I'm saying that we can get pretty darn decent yields. So if weather's good, our beans will be good.
Most look at Friday's trade say it was an awfully poor performance by the beans. They did manage to come back from a 30-cent low. They finished off just about what they finished off from the week, around 13 cents or so. The question, I suppose, given what we just heard, is the current level, the November beans at 669, a place that you might want to market given what the potential for the bean crop looks like at this point?
Well, I think what happened today, you gave a good description. If you've ever seen one of these movies where the guy starts to slip off the cliff and catches himself right before he falls off, that's kind of where we're at on the bean market after Friday's market. We caught ourselves. We're not back on the top edge yet, but we kept from falling off the cliff. Yes, at Tuesday's outlook meeting that we had at Tescola, that question was asked. And if you haven't marketed any new crop beans at this point, I don't see anything wrong with selling some new crop beans here and putting in some scale-up orders, because I think there's still some volatility in this market. I was a little bit disappointed with today's market because I felt like this was a pretty critical rain that most of the state really missed for the most part. I realize there are some areas got 7/8 tenths an inch of rain, but for the most part, from what I could see, we missed it. And I think it made some yield difference by missing that rain.
You know, I don't mean to interject here, Greg, but I heard a comment this morning as traders, or this come from the floor, and that was that, you know, downstate pretty much got an inch of rain or whatever. I can say that certainly was not the case. And if that's what caused today, or, you know, the Friday information, that probably misled.
Yeah, I think more the reason for the sell-off, more so than the rainfall today, was the forecast for the longer term. The August 11th through the 18th looks a lot wetter. I've heard that from several different private forecasters, that no rain for the next 5 to 6, 7 days, but then starting next Friday, for the next 7 days, there's a Bermuda high that sets up in the Atlantic Ocean, and that causes a whole trough of moisture to come up and be pumped up into the eastern Corn Belt especially, and hopefully Illinois and Iowa as well. But I think that probably was the reason for the sell-off. But we all know that long-term forecasts are just that. They're forecasts. So we don't know yet. And we're only 30 cents away from $7 futures again. And I'll stick with what I've been saying all along. Anytime there's a 7 in front of that price, you need to sell some beans.
What does
another factor, too, I think, today was the rust. It seemed like everybody kind of woke up to the fact that the rust question may be pretty much history for the growing season. At least that's the perspective in Chicago, it seems like, and I thought that was probably a factor in today's market.
Yeah, most people are thinking that even if rust were to show up now, that it's simply too late to have much of an impact across the marketplace. Although I would suggest that those who have watched rust in action may have a differing view on that particular point. So what does the world view of the bean market look like at this point when we add maybe potentials for Brazil back into the marketplace?
I think you're still talking or speaking the same story we've been talking for, I don't know, 5 years now or whatever, and that is that you know, numbers are still at a point where Brazil is, you know, able to add acres, and whether or not they would choose to do that is a different story. But again, they're profitable numbers for them down there. I think you're going to continue to see soybean acres in the world increase so long as that is the case. I think that you could see some extra bean acres out of this country next year, and that would obviously pressure the world supply situation in soybeans as well.
I'm going to have to disagree with Vince on this one. I think at the current currency values in that, I think you're going to see a contraction of acres in Brazil especially. It's just hard to get money to put the crop in right now, and nobody's willing to loan the financing unless the person's really established and, you know, has the past. The expansion part of it is hard to go in and do right now, it looks like.
Bill Mayer, Vince Reinicke, Greg Johnson, we sure do appreciate you being along for the ride, and thanks for filling in for Jim Wiesmeyer today. It was a good show. I'm Todd Gleason.
Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com. And with support from ADM, working with the American farmer, creating products from his crops, creating markets for crops. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at will.uiuc.edu.